How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
To the former players, my guys, listen, I would not be here without you men. The expectations hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. The blood, sweat, and tears that we shared on that field has been valuable to my success. I love you guys. To any players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges, but with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity.
Put your seatbelts on and get ready for Flight Plan, the podcast. Here we are covering the Jets, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mugi's introductory press conference. I'm Tim McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt. He covers the Jets for The Athletic. And Zach, that was, I guess, the takeaway line, right? Like, buckle up. There's always like one like short line you can take from these press conferences. It's a good one. I'll rate it nicely. On the pod, we're going to talk about Mugi because we haven't yet on this podcast. He was hired since our last episode. We'll get into the press conference as a whole. Towards the end, we'll also talk about the landing spots for a lot of former Jets coaches, where they are right now. And we'll check in on our picks pool as well. We were going to start with Mugi, Zach, but coming out of that soundbite, I don't know if you just want to give a quick, like, I give the Jets credit. I thought it was neat that there was a lot of former Aaron Glenn teammates and former Jet players in the building sitting up front for the press conference.
Yeah, for sure. That was cool. Wayne Corbett was the biggest name up there. He and Aaron Glenn used to have a lot of battles back in the day. So it was cool.
Both undersized guys.
Both undersized, right? Yeah, which is why it was such cool the way their careers played out. I mean, then you also had guys who never played with him, like Nick Mangold, Damian Woody, Tony Richardson was there, like a lot of guys that he didn't play with. So it was different because a lot of times you see the current players come in, but this was like really about the history, I think. And, you know, Aaron Glenn's quote at the end of that clip that comes right after we cut it off, is where he says, like, you know, we're the freaking New York Jets. We're built for this shit. And I think that's the one that fans got most hyped about. But the seatbelt one is funny because I had someone respond to a seatbelt thing on Twitter being like, does this mean that all gas, no brakes is still a thing because of seatbelts? Like, so
we're still talking about cars.
Yeah, because we're still in cars. But I think generally Aaron Glenn hit all the right notes. I think he addressed a lot of things he needed to. He did not take the bait on some questions. I think he really won some battles with the media in this one. Like I tweeted an exchange about the Aaron Rodgers stuff where he's like, you're not going to get me. And then Rich Samini was like, well, Bill Parcells, you say, he's like, I'm not Parcells, I'm Aaron Glenn. And so I think he's really sure of himself. He's not going to take any BS from anybody. And that's kind of what the Jets need in their head coach. You know, how he builds his staff, who their quarterback is, that's all ultimately more important than anything. But I think he has the right mindset for changing the culture with the Jets. I think he comes at it as someone who actually cares about the Jets. He has a history with them, which I think is, there's something to be said for that when most of these coaches don't really have a history with them when they come in. So I think, you know, you can see why he won them over in his interviews, and you can see why he's going to win over the locker room at the beginning, at the very least. You know, once the season starts, we really see what that means. But he even said it, like, I can make as many rah-rah speeches as I want, but that ultimately doesn't matter. What matters is all the accountability they need in that building and getting the right people in there. And that's going to be what these next few months are all about, getting the right people in and getting the wrong people out.
Yeah, and he said that was what culture is, right? They asked him about culture, and there's obviously plenty of terrible things you can say, like, just cliches about culture, but he said people, and he brought up Bill Parcells and that he learned it from that. And I remember that, right? Like Parcells had his guys with the New York Giants. And when he went to New England, suddenly you had like these former Giants are on the Patriots. And then he came to the Jets and suddenly these former Patriots are on the Jets. And it made me think like, I'm looking at the Lions roster. Who's free agents? Like who could come over? Like Derek Barnes, right? Is a guy, a linebacker. Actually,
that's funny you say, because I was starting to pull together a list because I'll write something about that at some point. I can give you a few names right now since we're on this topic. Carlton Davis, corner. He'll be one of the highest paid corners in the offseason. Defensive tackle, Levi Onwuzurike. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but
I think you got that right.
He'd be a really good pairing with Quinnen Williams. I could totally see that. The corner, Ifeatu Melifonwu. He's someone that I think is very high on Aaron Glenn. I've seen a lot of quotes from him about how much he loved him, and I could see him, you know, they need cornerback depth. They could lose Echols and DJ Reed. And, you mentioned Derek Barnes. Wide receiver Tim Patrick actually is an interesting one because he was on the Broncos too, so he'd be like a role player kind of guy if and when they cut Alan Lazar. But, I think there's definitely some names with ties to Aaron Glenn. I think a big name with the Saints, linebacker Zach Bowen had an amazing season for the Eagles. Glenn didn't coach him in New Orleans, but I'd be interested to see if they go after him, if they let Sherwood walk. But so I think that's something, Salah did it too. When he got here, he brought a lot of 49ers guys in. A lot of them worked out, some didn't. But that's kind of the way you establish like, okay, I know what Aaron Glenn is looking for. I know what he wants, and I know what we need to do to get where he wants us to go. So I think that's a smart thing coaches usually do is you bring in the players that either have the ability to help or the leadership to help your new locker room. And so I'm very curious to see how that plays out. How many guys with ties to Aaron Glenn, with ties to Muji. I think that's going to be a big part of free agency and the trade market and all that stuff.
So I did want to ask you on the vibes, like where would you rank this like press conference? If we had a scale where like on one end you have Adam Gase's wandering eyes, and on the other end, you have all gas, no break. Like, where did Aaron Glenn fit in?
I was just watching a clip from the beginning of the Adam Gase one, and it's just like, it's so bonkers. And it's funny, I wasn't there, but I've talked to like Connor, Andy Vasquez, some guys where they're like in the room, you couldn't really tell that the thing with the eyes was happening. It wasn't until you go on Twitter and see it blowing up, and that's all anybody talked about. Like, that was all-time bad press conference. Liam Cohen's yesterday was pretty bad. It wasn't like that. It was more cringe. He did like the Duval chant for the crowd. Like it was very awkward. And he talked about the importance of communication after not talking to the Buccaneers when he took the job. But
telling him he was leaving after they made him the highest paid coordinator.
But I mean, the flip side, that was the Salah one, which I think in retrospect, fans are like down on it. But I think when it happened, everybody was really excited about Salah. Yes. He said a lot of the right things. He talked about winning multiple Super Bowls, which maybe he shouldn't have done. He talked about the importance of the team and all this stuff. Like, I think he did a good job for a Zoom press conference. He probably would have done better in person. So I think it's more on the Salah scale of press conferences. I think Glenn's ultimately was better for this moment because it is what they need. They need the things he said, the accountability, the nobody being bigger than anybody else, Aaron Rodgers. I think those were the biggest takeaways. And so I get the sense that fans are very excited. A lot of people talking about running through brick walls for him. Woody Johnson was very excited. Although it took me a moment to realize this, but this was his first press conference Woody has been like really a part of since Todd Bowles, Mike Maccagnan. So that's 10 years ago now, actually. So it's been a long time. And so I think he had some pent up excitement to introduce these guys who he wants to be convinced are the ones. He didn't really hire Gase and Salah. So this is his hire. And so he's motivated. We'll get into the Woody of it all. I don't want to step on that now, but I think there was a lot of excitement in that room. And what I appreciated was it was a little more subdued. Like I wrote about this in my story off the press conference yesterday. The last time we were in that room was for Aaron Rodgers. When you walked into that room, they had Aaron Rodgers highlights playing on the projector, loud music playing, current coaches, current players swarming into the room. The energy was different. This time what I felt was a little more subdued. It was more like, okay, these are our new leaders and now let's get going. And so I applaud them for that. Like there wasn't bold declarations. You know, Muji had a quote about winning right away and about how he wants to bring a Super Bowl here, and that's fine. But there wasn't a lot of bold declarations, which is the thing that always gets you in trouble. And it's not to, I mean, I know Jets fans don't like Belichick, but his whole thing was always harping on not doing that and not, like, you know, you have to put in the work. Making these bold declarations doesn't do anything but put a target on your back and all that stuff. So I think focusing on winning the day instead of winning a Super Bowl tomorrow was the right move.
All right. So Aaron Rodgers did come up. You mentioned it. He was peppered with questions. He didn't answer any of them, but he did answer once, and then he dodged from there. So these were the thoughts from both Glenn and Muji talking about Aaron Rodgers. We'll hear from Glenn first.
Aaron, what will your process be like? Will you go meet with Aaron? I know you guys...
Listen, we've already texted Aaron, and me and Moose are going to sit there, and we're going to watch every game tape there is, and then we're going to look at the whole roster. This thing is not about Aaron Rodgers, folks. This is about the roster, and we plan on building the best roster that we can. So whatever that may be, guard, tackle, defensive tackle, that's what we're evaluating. And listen, everybody's under the microscope. That's just what it is. So we're going to do the best we can to make sure we build the best roster.
So that was Glenn, and then Muji followed with this.
I'll say this about Aaron. First and foremost, I got the most respect for Aaron Rodgers and what he's done in this league as a player. One of the greatest of all times to play the position, one of the greatest players of all time. So I know Aaron has his process in the offseason that he goes through. We have ours, but yeah, that day's going to come. I don't have a timeline on it, but I look forward to it.
Muji really saying nothing there other than, hey, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. But I mean, they said what you could, they didn't offend Aaron Rodgers, you know, but they made it clear that, like, they're not rolling out the red carpet either, and they're going to see what happens. And if you read between the lines, to me, it sounds like I'm not any more convinced that Aaron Rodgers would be back next year. I would still imagine that he will not be back next year.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my takeaway too.
Yeah.
I mean, the most telling quote is, "This is not about Aaron Rodgers." Like,
you just cut it right there.
I think, you know, it's hard to blame them because they needed Aaron Rodgers in a bad way. Like, the quarterback position has been a disaster here. They were dealing with Zach Wilson. So they went all in to get a legend, and they knew that in order to keep him happy, you had to keep propping him up and bring his friends in and hire Nathaniel Hackett and all this stuff. And so it didn't work, but, like, you get why they did it. But I think that it went a little too far at times, where you had Saleh and Douglas and Jeff Ulbrich, all these guys just going over the top to make it clear that Rodgers was above the team. And he had the whole Egypt trip. That's a mouthful.
That's
Egypt
hard to say.
Trip in OTAs last year, which was a unneeded distraction. He goes on Pat McAfee every Tuesday. Like, these are all things that come with Aaron Rodgers' package. And the Jets kind of just let it be. And I don't get the sense that Aaron Glenn will just let it be. I think the conversations they either have or will have with Aaron Rodgers will be along the lines of, like, "We'd love to have you if you're willing to do this, this, and this, and not do this, this, and this." And if he is not willing to do those things, if he looks at, okay, you have a first-time head coach, first-time GM, possibly first-time OC, and maybe his friend Alan Lazard, maybe not here anymore. Nathaniel Hackett almost certainly won't be here unless they just keep letting him, you know, do whatever. I allude to him as the guy in Office Space, where he just lives in the basement with a stapler, and you forget that you're paying him, and he just until you finally stop paying him and all that.
Well, that was anyway, Hackett for the second half of last year too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. Anyway, to my point, like, if Rodgers is willing to compromise and not be like, "We're running my offense, we're doing this, like, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that," then it could work if he's willing to do those things. But there has not been an indication from his history that he's willing to do those things. Like, he had Matt LaFleur, who very clearly is one of the best coaches in the NFL, one of the best play callers, and he fought him at every turn. And that was while he had two MVP seasons. So I'm not very confident that this is going to be a marriage that winds up happening. I don't think it's a 0% chance. Like, if Rodgers has no interest from other teams, he might come back and be like, "Okay, fine, I'll do what you guys want." I don't know. But I don't see him being the Jets quarterback next year as of right now. And I think you can't blame Aaron Glenn and Muji if they want to start fresh, whether it's a Tyrod Taylor or Justin Fields or a rookie or whatever it is. I think they do a clean slate at quarterback.
Dan Botter says, "But if Rodgers did buy in, he's probably the best option they have at quarterback, which is a good point.
The best,
but not necessarily the best option for culture.
Yeah. Well, and like, well, if they keep running the Stone Age offense that he likes to run, like they're not going to, it'll just look like it did last year when he played all 17 games. So he absolutely, like, if you look at the options, it's pretty bleak for quarterback. Like, it's a pretty brutal offseason unless somebody notable is willing to get traded or somebody notable gets cut. Like, I don't see Kirk Cousins being any good. I mean, he was pretty bad last year. I know his first year Achilles, but Rodgers is better than him. Darnold, I don't think, is coming here unless Aaron Glenn is into that kind of idea. Maybe he will be, and they can convince him to come for the right money, but I don't think those
are the vibes you want at the start of this.
Yeah. I mean, Darnold would be a fun reunion, especially if they could somehow convince Josh McCown to come BOC, like just bring the whole gang back together. But at some point soon, I'm going to do an article like just laying out all the quarterback options, because there are some out there that are like, you know, lottery ticket guys like Justin Fields, some other ones I have in the back of my head. But that's like a down the line thing. That first they need to hire an OC. I think even before any Aaron Rodgers decision, I think the OC is the next thing. And maybe we could talk about that now if you want. But I still lean towards Rodgers not coming back at the end of the day. And Tyrod is under contract for a very reasonable salary. He's perfectly adequate. Bring in somebody else, whether it's a rookie or a flyer in free agency, and see what you can do with the talent around them and a little less drama at the position. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to win 10, 11 games next year, but can they be competitive and show signs that the future is bright? Absolutely. And they have the pieces to do that.
Actually, before we get into the coordinators and assistant coach possibilities, I wanted to talk a little Muji and Woody, actually. Yeah. And one thing that's interesting now is a change in structure as far as this team is concerned. Robert Saleh reported, you know, to Joe, who reported to Woody. Now it's a little bit different in that Aaron Glenn and Darren Muji are both separately reporting up to Woody. So that's a big difference, right? Your head coach is no longer reporting to your GM. They're kind of like teammates in this whole thing. And just in your experience, I can't, like, off the top of my head, think of like what organizations have done this versus the other structure and where it's been successful. But like, there's plenty of instances of, you know, you think of New England with Bill Belichick for a long time. He was the, you know, 1A.
Yeah.
And then he would have his personnel guys kind of the GM and 1B. Does it feel like that's what this is, or are they really level?
I think they're pretty level, but I would say this is Aaron Glenn's show at the end of the day. It's not Darren Muji's show. It's Aaron Glenn's. They're going to try and build the team in Aaron Glenn's image. He's going to be very involved in all of it. I think that's the notable part about the reporting structure, which I don't think is ultimately like a huge deal on its face, because I think other teams do this depending on who the coach is, like a Sean Payton, like the powerful coaches in the league for sure do it. That's my biggest takeaway. The thing, you know, Darren Muji was asked who has the final call on roster decisions, and his answer was, it's going to be both of us. It's a we, it's not an I. Which, when it's a we, when it's a GM and head coach, that means the head coach has more power. And that's not something the Jets have really done here in terms of like the head coach having that much sway. I think Saleh and Douglas had a good relationship, but I don't know that Saleh really influenced personnel decisions, at least on offense. I think on defense, maybe he had more of an impact on who they brought in, because you could see it with like the guys with 49ers ties and stuff like that. But this is going to be Aaron Glenn's team through and through. That's what he wanted, and that's probably why Muji is one of the GM candidates they were looking at, as somebody who was willing to defer to the head coach. And we're going to find out what Aaron Glenn's eye for talent looks like. I think he has a very unique start to his coaching career. I'm not the first one to talk about it. Obviously, he talked about it yesterday, but he started as a scout in the Jets organization. He was on the road, I believe, for one or two of those years too. So like he grinded out that. He learned a lot about evaluation and the way scouts operate, which is a positive thing. And so he brings a little bit different of a view than maybe most head coaches would. So I'm very curious to see. You know, we know what he's like in terms of defensive coordinator, how he was able to make things work with guys, pulling them off the street and scheming it up. He's not going to call plays, which is notable. If they hire Steve Wilks, which I think is the top choice, he'll probably call plays on defense, and Aaron will be running the whole operation. So, I think that was the biggest takeaway from yesterday, is that this is Aaron Glenn's operation. He's the sheriff in town, and everybody's going to be falling in line behind him.
Well, it's Woody's operation, but no.
Yes. I mean, and I wrote that this morning. At the end of the day, you know, Woody said all the right things. Like, he deserves credit. He said, I need to look in the mirror and be a better owner. I need to give them the space. I need to be patient. He said all the things I don't think he's said very often, but we need to see it. Like, so, you know, I've talked about this. I wrote about it this morning. They have the tools in place to succeed, but it depends on Woody staying out of the way. So if they, okay, let's say he lets them do their offseason, which I think he might. I think he's going to let them operate this offseason. What if they start 1-5 or 2-4, or they fall apart at the end of the season and finish with 7 wins again? Is he going to take over again? Is he going to start influencing their decisions? I think that's going to be the biggest tell once the season gets here. I think right now everybody's saying all the right things. The mood is good. Maybe Woody's a little more self-reflective because of all the things that have been reported about him. He tried throwing water on our report again without actually like addressing anything directly and kind of said, you should take that with a grain of salt. Nobody actually knows how involved I am. I'm like, well, the people in the building that we talk to know how involved you are. But again, like, it's all in the past now. Like, all that matters is how they operate going forward. And so if he gives these guys the tools to operate, and I've said this over and over and over and over again, the Jets have hope if Woody takes a step back. If he doesn't, and he's trying to influence decisions again, and he's listening to social media and all that stuff, then it's not going to matter. So Woody is the X factor at the end of the day, and he always will be.
Yeah, we will see. And he's sticking around in the country, so we will definitely see. All right, let's get into the coaching staff. And you mentioned Wilkes. Does that feel like that's happening on the defensive side?
I don't know. So they haven't, to my knowledge, they haven't done interviews yet. I don't know if they're going to do it a secret. Most teams have been announcing when they interview coordinators, and you have to interview a couple for each position. I believe for quarterbacks, coach too. So I think Wilkes, by all accounts, is the front runner. I'd heard Nick Caley at offensive coordinator over and over again. As of last night, according to people I talked to, they hadn't reached out to request an interview with him yet. That doesn't mean they won't. They haven't yet. The Bucs did interview Caley already, and I think that's a pretty appealing job now with Baker Mayfield and the fact that the last two OCs got head coaching jobs. You know, I don't know. There's always the possibility Nick Caley doesn't want the job. I haven't heard that directly, but you have to remember he does work with Michael Floor. And Michael Floor, I don't know if he's asking for his review of the Jets organization. I don't know if he's going to give a glowing one. Not to say he'll tell him don't take the job or anything like that. But Nick Caley has the ability to be choosy because people view him as a future head coach. He turned down the Patriots big money last year. Rams gave him a raise, but more money is in being an offensive coordinator. So I think the Bucs will be an interesting one. And as these other teams fill out their staffs, I imagine they'll be interested in him too. So, you know, the Texans, their OC job is open. Nick Caserio, their GM, knows him very well. So I don't have a lot of confidence that'll be Caley. I still get the impression he's like their top target, but they need to talk to him in order for that to be a possibility. You know, the other names, still the same ones that everybody's been hearing. Scott Turner, as of a couple weeks ago, or when Connor Hughes first reported that Scott Turner was like a candidate, they hadn't talked to him yet. Or nobody had talked to him yet about the job. That might have changed by now. I don't know. He's not the most exciting possibility, but he's a candidate. Mark Brunell, quarterback's coach for the Lions, former Jets backup quarterback, worked with him. I think Tanner Engstrand on the Lions staff is someone to watch out for. He's like their passing game coordinator. He got passed up for John Morton, who's obviously a familiar face to Jets fans. He was their former OC. I keep an eye on him. I think he could be a top candidate if they don't hire Caley. Gerard Johnson, the QB coach for the Texans, is another name that's been thrown out. So that's kind of the group that you hear. There might be names I don't know. Maybe somebody in the college ranks, I don't know. But those are the top ones right now. Clint Kubiak, Michael Dunn just pointed out, he was a candidate, but he took a job with Seattle. I think some coaches weren't willing to wait, or they preferred a Seahawks job with a pretty talented offense. And and Hank Fraley was somebody I was interested in, but the Lions re-upped him and gave him a promotion. So that's kind of where it's at. I wonder if they're going to start doing the interviews today, this week. You would hope they will, because I think you need to start getting this staff together so then you can make a Rodgers decision, then you can go forward with the offseason. I would think by scouting combine, I would hope they have their staff completely full and maybe even a decision on Rodgers by then.
That's coming quick. Combine, I see the messages. all right, should we talk about where the past coaches have gone?
Yeah, a bunch of them.
They've gone home. They went home, Zach. Sala, Brant Boyer, both San Francisco to the Niners. Sala back as the Niners defensive coordinator. So he's just kind of like, he's just erasing his time in New York, right? He's going back to where he was before. Brant Boyer over there with him. Ulbrich obviously had already gone to the Falcons. We've talked about that. And then some smaller ones too. Tony Oden to the Dolphins, staying in the division.
Titans.
Tony Dews, Patriots running backs coach.
Yeah. And also Marquand Manuel to the Giants as well. So a lot of these coaches are taking other jobs now.
So everybody's finding a home. I would imagine with Aaron Glenn coming in and his background, like there wasn't going to be a situation where really anybody stuck.
Yeah, there's still some that could. I imagine he's probably talking to them today or this week. Aaron Wycotton's one I'd heard they would like to bring back as an organization that was maybe pre-Aaron Glenn. He got interviews with another team or two for their defensive line coach job. I don't know if he's going to say he doesn't have ties here. So like with this staff, I mean, Ron Middleton I haven't seen his name pop up yet. Sean Jefferson, like those are names that are interesting to me. Mike Rutenberg actually joined Ulbrich in Atlanta. So most of their staff has kind of started vacating the premises, but I wouldn't be surprised if a couple stuck around. But yeah, I think Aaron Glenn, he's going to do a wide search. He's going to fill out the staff, not only with people he's worked with, but also people he hasn't, which I think is a good thing. And yeah, you know, Brant Boyer, I think last year the special teams fell off quite a bit. I think he's a good special teams coordinator. He survived three head coaching.
That's amazing.
Yeah, which is pretty remarkable. And he lived to tell the tale. I thought Tony Oden would have been a good one to keep around, but can't blame him for going and get something else in another opportunity. So yeah, it's going to be a pretty new look staff and it's going to be fascinating to see. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention Josh McCown, OC. All the reporting is that he wouldn't leave the Vikings, but if they request him, maybe he'll take the interview. But anyway, the staff now is the most fascinating thing going forward, just how they fill it out. And whether Darren Mooji is going to bring in any of his own people, if he's going to, you know, fire any of the people in that front office. I think they can make some sweeping changes. A lot of times that doesn't happen until after the draft when a new regime comes in. So that'll be something to keep an eye on too.
Well, but there's openings too, right? Like we talked about the fact that Joe Douglas was kind of forced to let some people go and they didn't fill those spots. Do you think this front office gets filled out again under Mooji?
I would think so. I would think he'd bring in the beginning, at the least, somebody from his background in Denver. He's worked with a lot of people over many years. I thought Dave Ziegler maybe would have been someone he brings in. He went to the Titans, but they have a long history. But yeah, there's some people in that organization he's worked with for a long time, scouts, people in college scouting director positions, all that kind of stuff. And so I would think he would bring somebody over. You'd hope he'd bring somebody with experience. You know, wouldn't be the worst thing to keep like Phil Savage in-house. Or I don't know, maybe you keep Rick Spielman or Tannenbaum around in an advisor role just so you have a experienced GM there for the day-to-day, or not even the day-to-day, just for like the big picture and in terms of just like helping Mooji navigate his first year. I think that would be smart to bring somebody in. And I think they should bring in a president of football ops. I don't know that they will. Donna Ponte is a name that's been floated a bunch. I think she would be great at that job. So those are some things I would keep an eye on, but I don't have a great read on what he's going to do yet.
All right. Anything else from the presser and from all of that? We do need to, we'll check in on the picks here, but anything before that?
Not really. I mean, Aaron made it a point to not really comment on specific guys. You know, he was positive on Sauce, but didn't really say much. And he wasn't really asked about Garrett Wilson. I was going to try it, but it was hard to get questions in because of the setup. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, buckle up your seatbelts. Like this offseason is going to be fascinating. I'm very curious to see what it looks like. The offseason is always the most fun part of a Jet season, and I'm hoping that's not the case going forward, but right now it is. I think there's reason for optimism. I think Aaron Glenn was the right coach for this team. I think he's going to be good. Mooji is more of a question mark because we don't know, but I think he's made of the right stuff, and he has a good background and good references and things like that. So the Jets, I think, picked the right pairing. Whether it works, we're going to find out pretty soon.
Yeah, and there's obviously some big things that the Rodgers one on the horizon and all that. And not just Rodgers, quarterback. We should just call it quarterback, right? Because if it's not Rodgers, what is it? Like this team does have, as Mooji said, this team does have a roster that can compete, but you can't compete without at least an adequate quarterback.
Yep.
So that's a big thing to fall, big domino to fall. All right. One more week, one more game left to go as far as picks go. I'm bringing up the standings here if you're checking us out on YouTube. And things are not over just yet. Historic STE with a one-game lead over Joe 2-3-5-6. Jimbo Brennan now eliminated So Historic ST and Joe 2356 both getting one of the two conference championship games. So we go to the Super Bowl with that setup. Obviously, if both of them pick the same team, it's over and Historic ST wins this thing. So he could just kind of try to guess. But if they pick different teams, and we'll I don't know when they'll make those picks, but we'll check in going into the game and we'll see if maybe it comes down to that. And then if they end up tied, it'll come down to the score of the Super Bowl. Real quick on the Super Bowl, Zach.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a Super Bowl I've been less excited about. And I can't even remember a time. Like, I was all in on the Bills here. I mean, I was Bills Lions is what really just the, we had talked about it, I think, like the same vibes as when the Indians faced the Cubs in the World Series and it was two franchises that hadn't won forever. That would have been really neat. The Lions go down. And then you're like, all right, well, I was all in on the Bills last weekend, just hoping to not have the Chiefs back in the Super Bowl. But here we are, not only the Chiefs, but the Eagles. We've seen this game before. I mean, Taylor Swift grew up outside of Philadelphia. Yeah. So there's like, we're torn there. Like, I don't know. Is that the drama here?
Yeah, it's the lack of
we're
drama.
We're going to have a three-peat. I can't imagine a world where Sirianni outcoaches Andy Reid and wins the Super
Bowl. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Eagles generally are just overwhelming with talent, and that's kind of
and they are the better roster.
They have the best roster in the NFL, I think, when everybody's healthy, and Saquon has been unreal. I think sometimes it gets underrated watching greatness. Like, I think we forget to appreciate it sometimes, and so it happened with Brady, it happened with all the great teams over the years that were just like dominant for a long time, and they're just like the team every year, and everybody gets tired of it and they become the villain and stuff like that. But like Patrick Mahomes is he's playing at a Michael Jordan pace right now. Yeah. Like if he wins this Super Bowl, he has a case already as the best quarterback ever. I think that's 4 in 7 years as a starter. Like like Tom Brady didn't, I looked it up. Tom Brady didn't win his fourth Super Bowl until year 15. So
yeah, because they had the huge drought. He won three early. And then there was that long drought. And
so like the Mahomes of it all, I think we should appreciate the greatness that we're getting to witness it a little bit more. And Andy Reid being one of the best coaches ever and cementing his place and all that stuff. I don't know how much longer Travis Kelce has. I think it'll be a good game.
If they win, this has got to be it. I mean, honestly, like if they win, could Reid and Kelce both walk away?
I feel like Reid might keep riding it out until like if they lost the Super Bowl down the line or something, because this is like a great setup he has right now. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game, but I'm going to be in New Orleans actually. So I won't have a spot on Radio Row because I didn't know until like recently that we were going to be there. Would have been cool to have a spot, honestly.
Will you be in the stadium?
Yeah, I'll be in the stadium. I'm going to be there all week. I'll be at the game. I don't know what the setup's going to be because I love New Orleans. One of my like three favorite cities in the world, or at least in the United States. But the stadium is old and a piece of crap and there's no press box. You're kind of just like in the stadium. It's loud. It's fun. But it's like you're in the nosebleed. So I'm going to be very curious to see what the setup is for media, because there's more media at the Super Bowl than I think any sporting event other than maybe the Olympics. So that's going to be interesting. But I love New Orleans so much. I have a personal connection to it. Maybe I'll share that next week. But I'm excited to get out there. Marissa will be there.
You know what? We should get Marissa on next week.
It's a good idea. Yeah. Maybe I can even get Diana to make an appearance. She might be too big time, but we can try.
A lot going on the Athletic, huh? To plug what's going
athletic
on.
Athletic football show will be going on there while we're there. Yeah.
At Radio Row, and Scoop City will be going with Diana.
Yeah, they have
Radio
like full setups and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's instead of just the Radio Row boring stuff, we're both employed by the Athletic, partnered with Toyota for a cool set. So like Robert
I heard about
and Diana,
that.
They're
going to
be
that.
Down
yeah.
there. And they're going to be doing a stream every day at, I believe it's 5 Eastern.
And knowing Diana and that in Scoop City, I imagine they're going to have some great guests too. Because they get some.
Yes. I've actually seen the guest list.
Oh,
the early guest list. And it is, I'm not going to give anything away. It's not, that's not for us to say, but there's some great guests coming.
Awesome.
To the podcast and that stream, which will be like, the stream will kind of be like the Avengers type situation where you'll have Robert and Derek and Diana and like everybody kind of contributing. and Chase Daniel and all that.
So, yeah, so yeah, I'll be out there
on there at some point.
Yeah, for sure. I hope they get me on there. I mean, I'll be out there doing all the Mekhi Becton content. All the we got Jason Brownlee's on the practice squad for the Chiefs. So CJ Uzama, I believe, is with the Eagles. So you got some Jets ties. So we'll have some content for the Jets. And I think I'm going to be helping a lot with the Eagles coverage. So I'll be writing a bunch about that, but there's going to be some stuff that I write that I probably don't tweet out, 'cause I don't need Jets fans yelling at me for why are you writing about blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm excited. I covered one Super Bowl before, the one in Miami. That was Chiefs 49ers. That was a really good game. It was kind of a mess of a setup in Miami, but I'm excited to have spending a whole week to peel back the curtain a little bit. So I'll be spending a whole week in New Orleans. I would say New Orleans is amazing city. A lot of culture, great food, great
drink. I've actually never been to New Orleans.
Oh, it's amazing. But I don't recommend generally going for more than a couple of days. It's kind of like a Vegas type thing.
Right, yeah.
So not only am I going for that week, but I had a pre-planned trip with my fiance for the week after that to go to New Orleans because I wanted her to meet some of my friends down there. And I didn't think I was going to be going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I knew the Jets wouldn't be in it when I booked this trip. So, they asked me if I wanted to go to the Super Bowl. So there was like a brief moment where I'm like, crap, do I really want to go back-to-back weeks? But I'm like, I can't turn down the opportunity to cover
this. Are you coming home?
Yeah, coming home on Monday and flying back out on Saturday. So a little buffer, but still.
Detox. Yeah, it's a good week of detox.
It's going to be the week after that. I'm going to be just sleeping the entire week. So
that's amazing. You're like, you'll be like a resident at that point. All right. Okay, everybody. Get out and do something this week, and there's no football. But we'll be back next week to get you ready for the Super Bowl and all that stuff. Thanks for joining us here on the Flight Plan Podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.